All right, welcome to episode 3 of Bread Time.
Yeah, this is the first episode we're actually eating bread. So let's talk about the bread first. What do we have today? It's like a pretzel bun, maybe?
It's interesting because it was in the fridge.
Yeah, it was cold.
I usually don't like my bread cold, but you know, it's bread nonetheless.
Yeah, it'll work.
So today we're talking about one of my favorite things, which is the video game Overwatch.
It's also one of my favorite things. When I first came to Overwatch, I was shocked because my first couple minutes of playing the game, I said, there's no real like engagement hook as what I was used to. I was coming from games like Destiny or whatever. And in Destiny, you're trying to level up constantly. Like almost every game I've ever played that I've gotten addicted to has some sort of leveling system that just like keeps me hooked into the game hardcore. And I came to Overwatch, I knew a little bit about it, and there's none of that. You don't like, your character never gets better. You don't get new weapons or anything like that. The only like sort of thing that they give you is like different ways your character can look, like skins or things that they can say, but it affects your gameplay not at all. And I was like, how are people going to stay engaged with this game? And now it's 6 months later or something like that, and I play it pretty much every night.
And it's one of the most diverse roster of characters, right? Like they have every shape, color, you know, like every kind of, like they have flying characters, they have characters that are slow, slim, not so slim, sexual orientations, and that's unlike any other game I've played too, where like Destiny, there's three characters that look pretty similar.
Yeah, there's three characters and the only difference is their weaponry essentially, or like some small character differences. But yeah, like, so you come to Overwatch, and the first time you play it, you're, like, probably attracted to some type of character because you assume that's what you're going to want to play. And I think, like, early on, what did you choose first?
I stuck with D.Va from the beginning.
Yeah, I was, like, D.Va played once, and I was like, I don't get this character at all. It actually behaves super differently. Like, when you get sort of taken down, as in her mech suit, she actually becomes a different character who plays totally differently. That felt overwhelming to me. I think I chose, like, Pharah or something early on, where it was just, like, big gun, shoot stuff, make happy. Yeah, we chose these initial characters, but and I thought, okay, well, this is my character kind of for the game, but the game rewards you not playing one character all the time. Like, the team dynamic is that the game, you have to, like, play with the other people who have chosen what they think they need to play for a game. So, like, there's situations where the team needs a healer, so all of a sudden you're kind of, like, forced into the situation where you're like, I should play a healer. Now I have to get good at least one healer because I need to be able to choose a healer occasionally.
Right, so there's the game, and then there's the meta game, and then there's your meta game against the other team's meta, right? So like, you have to find a character that you're actually good at because they all have different play styles, and then once you find that, you gotta see if that fits in within your team's composition. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, and once that you have that, then you need to figure out which one works for that map. And then once you do that, you gotta figure out, you know, if depending on the opposite team's composition, like how would that affect your composition,
right? And over the course of time now, I feel like I've learned maybe like, I don't know, 4 of the characters really, really well. I can play probably like half of them fairly like acceptably. There's like characters out there that I see all the time, like Genji. I see people very successful with Genji. I've never played with Genji successfully. There's so much to this game that I have not explored. Like there's like half of the characters, which I still feel like very attracted to learning now. Like whenever I think I'm gonna give up or something, it's like there are more characters that I want to try and get good at. Also, like with the characters I do play, I continue to learn how to play them against different characters. Like, so like when a team is a made up of like maybe there's like a Bastion on the other team or something, and like I don't know how to defeat Bastion with D.Va. She's kind of slow to get around like Bastion. You have to like learn each character you're attacking, so the variations become so wide and spread out that the engagement hook for me is like continuing to learn. And I kind of accept that I'm never going to fully learn this game. But it's fun still. And the thing that really changed for me and why I love this game so much is that I don't feel like I'm being told to play the game, right? Like I'm not going to the next level constantly where I'm like in Destiny, it's like, oh, if I could only get to this next level, then I can do, I don't know. It just felt like I was being dragged along. this feels completely self-motivated. And I think that's like the magic of Blizzard.
Yeah, well, the reward is that you get to play with better people.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then, yeah, like that's just like pure like ego to you then, right? Like if I do better, it means I'm getting better at the game and I'm playing against better people. And like, I don't know, it feels like...
Yeah, well, speaking of ego, there's also this mechanic of play of the game. Mm-hmm. Which, to be honest, I get that all the time.
Yeah, you really do, actually. Like, terrifying. I had a streak for a while with D.Va, and then you just took over. And now, like, I will play with Gabe, and almost one out of every, like, 1.5 matches, he gets play of the game. Like, it's, like, almost a rarity that he doesn't get play of the game.
Although, we should also be clear that we are pretty horrible at this game.
We're bad. Yeah. We're not quality players. So that's like maybe another thing to talk about, which is the way that they handle celebrating your victories and like ignoring your crappiness. So like I am pretty bad at this game. I am not a great video game player in general, but I feel like happy often. Like I've done amazing feats in this game because of the way they celebrate stuff. So like one of the things they do is after you have the match, they show like the 4 players who did the most amazing things within the match, and they celebrate those, and there's like a little upvoting system that anyone can kind of vote for the players to say like, oh, you did a good job. It's not like a layout of stats like, oh, you did like 3rd best on your team or you did the worst on your team. I never know if I did the worst. I just know if I did something good.
And you could be in the team that loses, right, and still be featured as like one of the best players in the team. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes your team does horribly, but you feel great.
You're like, it wasn't me that failed here. and then the play of the game is the element that is just like this thing that you know that everyone who played the game, now there's 12 people who just played around with you, everyone just saw you perform some sort of feat. So like when you get it, you always feel good because it's like, haha, like I'm celebrating my victory with these 12 people. And like people are generally like pretty nice about it. They'll say like good play of the game or whatever.
Okay, so top 3 characters that you'll play and why?
Okay, one of the characters who is like my most played now is Mei. And at first she was like one of those characters that was like way too complex to play. But after I got more comfortable with the game, I was like, I'll give her a try. I've been defeated by her very often and I wanna know why. So I would try to play with her and she's kind of like a defensive character, but I feel like I actually play her very offensively. Like she has this wall thing that she throws up and it's just kind of like chaos to the board. And I enjoy like adding that chaos constantly to the situations. After that, D.Va is like my second favorite because D.Va is also really complex and you have to play her 2 different ways. And I love that balance point of going back and forth between her 2 play styles. Number 3 is probably like Zenyatta. That's how you say it, right?
Yeah.
So like he's like a healer, but he's also kind of offensive as well in a way. Like he has this like orb that you can place on one character on the map, and then everyone who's attacking that character like essentially becomes, their hits become more powerful. So it feels like I'm helping the team pretty often. I can heal people, but I'm also kind of like directing where we're attacking in a way. And yeah, it feels like it's a good character for me because I just don't feel like I'm a great shooter, like a aimer kind of person. So to me, this is like just spreading goodness around the board and hoping nice stuff happens because of it.
That's a good list.
What are yours?
Mine's pretty similar, for similar reasons, but different characters. Well, number 1, D.Va. Mm-hmm. She is the best. Mm-hmm. So I like to play her because I can just basically just shoot the entire game. She doesn't reload, so I just shoot in the entire match, so that's great. The second one, Junkrat. Mm-hmm. For the same reason, I don't like to aim very much, so I just throw random bombs around and they usually hit someone. And that feels pretty great. And then the third one I've gotten kind of familiar with lately, which is Torbjorn. Mm-hmm. And same reason, I just put a turret somewhere, I just let it do its thing, and then just fuck around for the rest of the map, and then sometimes it's great.
Yeah, and it's like, so that's really interesting. Like the characters we play kind of speak to the fact that we're casual players pretty much. I could imagine Genji or something like that. You have to be far more precise and on point constantly through your play because he's like moves around quickly and like does in and out attacks, and then like you have to be very defensive with him and stuff. Like, yeah, that seems like way harder to me right now, but Let's try to talk about like what the game doesn't do well.
What doesn't it do well? Let's see. Matchmaking, I guess?
Yeah, everyone complains about matchmaking. I think like matchmaking is obviously something that has never been solved really well. But I think actually this game does a pretty good job of keeping you with like relatively similar players and keeping the matches fairly fun. Like there are blowout matches occasionally, but those are even fun for some reason.
I have one gripe. This game has no transgender albinos.
You're right. I mean, I don't really know this full story, but I do know like when they first introduced the first character set, like there was some pretty strong pushback on Blizzard because it was like pretty, like at least the female characters were all like what you would expect essentially.
Right.
And then they introduced a bunch of characters that didn't fit those exact sort of
archetypes.
Yeah, and I think they've responded really well over the course of time. But here's actually something pretty screwed up.
Okay.
The game's like super like has these weird crazy racist overtones, right?
like a certain map is pretty racist.
Yeah. Like, there's all the characters, like the different skins you can get for them, they...
Well, it's not racist. It's just like they lean really heavily on people's backgrounds, right? Or the characters' backgrounds. So they end up being very like stereotypical.
Yeah, it's stereotypical, and I think that is like some... I had like disturbing moments with it where I was like, oh my god, like you're really putting like I can't even say the things, like I feel like they just the characters feel like, because there's a lot of stereotypes going on, it could be like uncomfortable. And I kind of understand like where Blizzard was probably coming from, which is like just a celebration of all this stuff. Or like right. Maybe like Zenyatta or something like that. There's like something uncomfortable about like the way they use the imagery around him and stuff like that. But at the same time, they're just kind of like celebrating all these like wildly different visual and audio indicators of people from around the world. So it's like, right. I get where they were coming from, but at the same time, sometimes it's like it doesn't feel sensitive per se.
It's like the United Colors of Benetton made a video game.
Bingo.
If there's Blizzard people listening right now, what would you tell them to improve upon the game?
Okay, go.
Please, for the love of baby Jesus, let me share highlights.
Yeah.
Like, come on, like I make some incredible feats of gaming and I can't share them.
This would be a game changer for the game because these play of the games you get sometimes are pretty neat and you'd really just like want to press one button and share that with people who like the game or just maybe people in general.
Any crossovers maybe? Like have some StarCraft or Diablo characters in Overwatch?
No, I like this.
Also worth noting, Overwatch is the first original IP from Blizzard in 20 years.
Right.
So this is like one of the most successful, if not the most successful video game company around right now. And they've been just milking the same lore and characters for forever until they release Overwatch. So, and it's pretty successful. Like the characters are so rich. Like they release comic book and like I could watch a TV show of each character because they're that reach.
When you play the game, the storyline stuff really isn't important at all. Like it has nothing to do with the gameplay. The gameplay is very just much like a game that you play for the sake of playing it, usually talking to your friends or whatever. But they've released these like incredible videos for many of the characters already, and they seem like they're working through them one by one. And these things are like beautiful, story driven, really like pretty, like emotional things. And funny thing is, like, they really do add to like you liking the character. Like you see it and you're like, oh, well now I care a little bit more about that character. And it's like, that's part of the engagement hook too, actually. Like those, it's very smart.
It's like what makes a good movie is not necessarily the plot, because like we've seen similar plots like many times, but what gets you to a movie or a TV show is characters, right? Like people you want to see yourself hanging out with.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing for a video game. It's like they focus on the characters and everything you unlock is for the characters. You don't unlock anything about the gameplay or the story or the maps or anything like that. You just focus on the characters and you grow more and more attached to the characters.
The developer updates that they do, there's like these videos that they produce sort of with all the major updates. And I don't know the guy's name offhand, but he does like a little speech about every update. And yeah. He speaks to the fans and he like really tells you what they're thinking and like where they want to go with stuff or why they chose the right thing. Very great communication as well. Like it's one of those things where you're like, can't be upset with you because you're talking to me. And I know he's not talking to me, he's making a video on the internet, but It's about as good as you can do at that like level of like broadcast.
I mean, he does, Blizzard as a company, they do that, but also they release such high level of quality on everything. Like the UI of the game is incredible, the gameplay is incredible, the art direction is incredible. It's a style that is pretty much universal, just like WoW or World of Warcraft. Like it's not tied to a particular rig or technology. It's low fidelity enough that it can withstand time, I think, for many years to come.
This is a real criticism. I wanted to tell you, anyone who is listening to this, how to play with me on this wonderful game. And I don't remember, like, I have a ID, like a, what is it called? Battle.net, whatever?
Yeah.
It's Gargarbot, G-A-R-G-A-R-B-O-T. But then there's four numbers after it. It's like pound sign, one, two, I don't even know. And I can't just relate that to you quickly.
Like ICQ, basically.
Yeah. Like I want you to play with me and I can't even tell you like how to do that quickly. And that's frustrating. I think it's 1626. Give that a shot. What's yours?
Mine is Gabe, pound, and then try any combination of four numbers. It'll be one of those.
Okay, yeah. Yo, here's the cool outro. You can follow us on Twitter at BreadTimeFM, and we also got a site set up called BreadTime.fm where you can subscribe to the podcast.
Oh, we're contractually obligated to say that we also have a Facebook page at facebook.com/BreadTimeFM.
Check you later.